A passage that was selected today was Isaiah 9, 1 to 8. Now, Bill has been looking at various prophecies in his sermons about Jesus, and he said he didn't use this one, and I could. And until after I did a little study on it, I realized why he didn't want to mess with it. At any rate, it still is a good topic for discussion, and it is obviously one of the great prophecies that we call upon as we prepare ourselves for Christmas. I'm going to read the 9th chapter, Isaiah, the first 8 verses. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have engaged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of God. Well, it was such a neat opportunity to get to come up and have a conversation with you all on the first day of Advent. Next to Easter, Christmas is definitely my favorite season. And the fact that we celebrate it, we really celebrate it for a whole month, especially since we are the people of Advent. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever heard that term before, but I thought it was a unique term, and I wanted to bring it to you today and place it on you because you, in fact, are people of Advent. The fact that you're here on the first day of Advent, the fact that we've celebrated the lighting of the first candle, the fact that we are singing praise songs, the fact that we are looking at the prophecies of the coming Jesus, that makes us Advent people. And I congratulate you all for your wisdom in using this part of your life to think about Jesus Christ. Now, this thing's alive. We lit the candle of hope today. In fact, there was a whole sermon in that presentation, if you paid attention. We also, as we begin, there's 4 Sundays in Advent, so it's a joy to kind of tie those Sundays together. Now, if you look in the dictionary, you can see that Advent really means coming or arrival. They did a survey and they asked people across the churches what Advent meant to them, and the term that they used was anticipation. And I like that term too. I wasn't a boomer, but anticipation brought to mind a song. I don't know how many of you remember Carly Simon, right? Anticipation. Well, she sang a song, but it was about her anticipating getting together with her lover. And I guess we are anticipating the coming of the love of our lives, right, when we anticipate the coming of Christmas. Now, I wanted to cause you to think about, I'm not going to ask you to leave here with any any great amount of information, or I don't know that I'll move your hearts to any action, but I wanted you just to think about the fact that in addition to our preparing and thinking about Christmas and its celebration, there are actually three things involved. We usually think of just the one, but the one is celebrating a historic fact, okay? Celebrating the miraculous and marvelous birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Something that, while it was a miracle, while it was foretold over years, a couple of illiterate shepherds and a couple of foreigners who came to bring gifts were the only ones that really recognized what happened that day. And yet, in retrospect, we can look back and realize what a wonderful and marvelous event that was. So part of our Advent preparation is to dwell and think about and celebrate that event, right? Now, I would also tell you that we have a second Advent that we celebrate. We celebrate the first Advent thinking of the birth of Christ and the shadow of the cross over the manger and the coming of Easter and the perfect gift that God gave us, ultimately, a relationship with Him and eternal life through the sacrifice and resurrection of His Son. Well, the other aspect is we celebrate the return of Christ, which is a second Advent, a second coming, a second arrival. And that's something that we, I don't know, in our church, we give that much attention to. I don't hear people going around saying Maranatha to each other. We'll pass the peace and we'll say I love you, but we never challenge each other with the Greek word for come quickly, Lord Jesus. I don't know that we carry in our consciousness the fact that Jesus could return any moment. And that's one of the other aspects of Advent is it causes us to bring that to mind again, which is good for us, I think. If you know how it is around your house, I know how it is around my house, when we're going to have company, things get a little tense, get a little excited. And if we in our lives are living a life, we're anticipating the arrival, the second arrival of our Lord, shouldn't we be a little tense, a little excited? I think we should. And we kind of let that dwindle off. We're tied up with things, our day-to-day lives, and we kind of forget about that. So those are the end pieces of Advent. And we are living in the middle, in between, right? We're living between Christmas, the original Christmas, and we're living between the wonderful return of our Lord. We're in the middle, right? We're just kind of moving along, doing things. Well, I think that's another aspect of Advent, the other aspect of preparation for Christmas that we need to think about. We need to think about our lives, right? We need to think about the fact that we are walking with our Savior through whatever is happening in our lives, that we are not alone, that not only did Jesus come at Christmas and Jesus will come later, but He's already here, right? Through His Spirit, which indwells us, we are walking with and in Him. And what we do is done through the love that He gave us. And how we treat other people, how we carry out our ministries, how we do our job, are all a reflection of how we have relinquished control of our life to Jesus and how we use Him as our guide and how we use Him as the person that we follow. And that empowers us, right, to do what we do and do it in obedience to God and in glory to God. Well, what's interesting about that passage in Isaiah is that it covers both ends, okay? It discusses the birth of the birth child, of the coming Christ, but then it goes on, and the names that are given to Christ don't necessarily apply to God, to Jesus' ministry in His life on earth, does it? I mean, did you see Him as a conquering ruler, as a leader, as a king? No, He was a teacher. He was a shepherd. He was a suffering servant, and He gave His life. So, actually, those words are to describe him in his second arrival, when he will be here forever, and he will be in charge, and he will bring peace, and he will bring hope, and he will bring joy in his reign over us, and his government will be perfect. If you are into those kinds of things, I imagine that would be the millennium, the 1,000 years reign that is often prophesied. And that's something that we can look forward to. Now, I was looking through different things about Advent, there were some items that I would call your attention to that will help you when you come back and you worship each Sunday and as you celebrate this wonderful gift that God has given us. As you look around, you can see what the truly wonderful fellowship and service leadership team did to this sanctuary. Okay, those young folks and a couple of us senior citizens put together a tribute to this special season, right? Now, the hanging of green, you probably all know, reflects life, right? If you have a ribbon, it doesn't have life. If you have a bell or a ball, that's really a dead thing. That's lifeless. But when you see pine boughs hanging, even though it's simulated, you see green up there, you're thinking life, right? You're thinking something that is vibrant and offers a sense of life that you can even smell a pine tree. You can see it, and it brings joy to you. And that's what the hanging of the green brings us all. Then when you see the circles of the wreaths and the circle of the Advent wreath, we think of a circle and those of us that are geometry buffs, you know that a circle has no beginning and no end, and certainly that reflects the eternity of God, the great I Am, who has no beginning and no end, right? And also it's the endless ability of God's grace, the endless presence of God's grace in our lives. This is would be a circle, no beginning, no end. And so that should help you be in a special sense of God and his presence here in our church. Now, the lights are another thing, right? The candle lights and the lights. Those lights on a tree really simulate candlelight. And we all know that Christ's first coming, his birth, was the presence of the light of the world in a dark world. And we live in a world that I'm not certain is much brighter than the world that Jesus came into. The only brightness that we have in our world is God's presence in the churches and in the Christians that live around us. It's a world that, as we can see our culture diminishing in honesty, diminishing in morality, we know that there is a need for more light in our world. But this represents the light that Christ brought to the world. And the Advent wreath itself is a chance for us to celebrate each Sunday. And as we light the candles, you'll see that there's a purpose and a representation in the colors of the candles. And it offers us a special chance to think about this season of Advent. Well, it is my hope that you remember that Advent begins today, and it will be a season, and we certainly will celebrate the fact that while the Old Testament people were burdened with the woes of slavery, with the woes of problems of a country in the Middle East at that time, they knew and expected a Messiah. Although they were disappointed that he was a teacher and a shepherd, we know that the true victory was there. And then we know at the other extreme, we need to look forward to Christ revealing himself in a way that his return will exceed anything we can imagine, anything we can expect. And in between, there we are, people of Advent. And we can be inspired on our spiritual journeys both as individuals and as a congregation as we celebrate Advent. Now, Advent is certainly a time for Advent people to not only hope for a better day, hope for a little less pain. I guess if you were a Michigan fan or a Alabama fan or a Clyde Flyer fan, you'd be suffering some sort of pain. But you'd have to realize that that's not really the important thing, is it? Our hope is not just in our circumstances. It's not just in the things that we experience around us. As Pastor Bill said, the difference between optimism and hope is that optimism is expecting things to be better, while hope is relying faithfully on the promises of God and relying on his faithfulness. And that's what we're called to do as we look at the candle of hope, as we look at hope, in our Advent celebration. It's really the hope that we have is our reliance on the promises of God. Now, he has shown his faithfulness. You can look back 4,000 years from the time that he brought the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt, through all the things that happened, through the problems and tribulations of the Jewish people, through the perfect and wonderful vision of his son Jesus Christ, God incarnate, who came and taught, and the disciples and Paul's teaching, and the fact that the church is a presence in the world today. Those are promises that God has kept, and he's faithful to certainly continue on to provide us with a better world and to provide us with a more whole and fulfilling life. I hope you realize that that's what Advent is all about. It's a way to live as Advent people amidst all these problems of life with a faith that continues to see possibilities when there's no present evidence of any possibilities, just because God is God and he is faithful. Yes, that's a wonderful anticipation of Advent, and I look forward to enjoying the wonderful Advent season with you here in our church. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, thank you for Advent. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for the people that are around me now that love you, and thank you, Lord, for the love that we share. I pray, Lord, that you will give us a marvelous Advent this year as we love, serve, obey, and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.